to all the listeners out there, and welcome to the seventh episode of our Talanx Investor Relations podcast. I am so delighted to have here with me today two guests from HDI Global Specialty, the Chief Executive Officer Ralf Beuter and the Chairman of the Board of Directors Ulrich Wallin. Ralf and Ulrich, welcome to both of you, and thank you so much for dealing with my questions today.
Hello and good morning, Shirley. Good to see you.
Good morning, also from my side.
Well, to start with the first question, as the name HDI Global Specialty says, what is so special about it, Ulrich?
Yeah, Shirley, thanks for your question. That is really the type of business that we write. It is a business like aviation, offshore energy. We also have business what's called contingency, which is business, for example, like price indemnity, where you cover maybe a price that you get when you hit a hole in one in golf. It's often that there's a par three, and then if you hit a hole in one, you get a shiny, nice car. That's special about it, and the idea is that in this business, you need special underwriting knowledge that is different from standardized business, like the normal property and liability business or motor business, for example. And that's a kind of business where HDI on the commercial side was a little bit underweight compared to some of the successful competitors, and therefore it was sought to create a specialty company and a specialty unit.
Thank you. Ralf, to you, could you give our listeners a brief overview of your portfolio? Which line of business is your largest one, and which one would you say is the most profitable one?
Thanks, Shirley, for the question. And as Uli already was alluding to some lines of business, what is it what we do at HDI Global Specialty? We do aviation, we do space, we do bloodstock, sport, leisure, entertainment, pet and farm pack, financial lines, political risk, political violence coverages, accident health, marine, specie, delegated authority, a whole bunch of lines of business, very special to be looked at, and that, of course, underlines what Uli was already saying. Probably the two largest lines of business we have at HDI Global Specialty is aviation and space and financial lines. If we look back at HDI Global Specialty into the past, what has been extremely profitable for us as a company, it's clearly aviation and space. We have made quite substantial profits over those years. We have experienced teams in various locations. So if you ask me what is the most profitable line, it's clearly, in my opinion, aviation. And the two largest lines of business currently is financial lines and aviation.
Thank you so much. Ulrich, the focus of your business is global. Which markets or countries do you regard as key for specialty, and what are your further international expansions plans?
Well, I mean, key markets are, of course, the UK market, because there you have the Lloyd's market that writes a lot of specialty business as well. So HDI Global Specialty has a relatively large branch office in Lloyd's. Then we have the Canadian market, Australian market, and for us, but that's not for specialty as a whole, also the Scandinavian market is very important, particularly in Sweden, because we have a branch office in Sweden that has a history of profitability dating back to the late 90s. And then, of course, the big question is, because the largest part of the specialty business is actually in the US, and so it's a very important market. At HDI Global Specialty, we have a restricted approach to the U.S. business because we haven't got a U.S. location as yet. And therefore, we only write the U.S. business from London in Germany. We have, due to the business that was transferred from HDI Global, also interesting locations in Europe, say in Netherlands, Belgium and Denmark, which are not that large in size, but result-wise, they are quite promising.
And perhaps if I just may add, Shirley, I mean, HDI Global Specialty, the division, of course, is that we're building a global acting specialty lines carrier, and we have 10 locations currently, and Uli has alluded to where we, of course, want to grow internationally, parts in the US, but Asia and also South America. I mean, they're virtually blank spots, especially Asia and South America currently. So although we don't have concrete plans yet, it definitely will go on the agenda in some years' time.
Could you explain to us what exactly the delegated authority business is and how important is it for you, Ralf?
Let's start with the second part of the question. If we look at the premium volume of HDI, Global Specialty, VirtuS of today, we have 50% single risk business and we have 50% delegated authority business. And delegated authority business virtue is that you have a third party who does the underwriting for you, potentially also does the claims handling to a certain degree for you. So you're not doing the underwriting or parts of the claims handling yourself. You have somebody else doing it for you. Of course, that requires that you pick the right partner with the right expertise, with the right marketing, with the right products, with the right pricing. And of course, you need to have a proper oversight and control over that agency in place to ensure that this agency only does those things which are agreed with you as a carrier beforehand.
I mean, I would say on the delegated authority in the Talanx Group, Hannover Re has a long history in supporting that business. And I think we made every possible mistakes in the past in that business. But that also meant that our approach to the business has taken into account all those experiences that we have. So hopefully we have fewer mistakes these days and we have some really very attractive agencies. I mean, our biggest one is an agency called Swedea, which is also owned by HDI Global. And that writes business like snowmobiles, motorcycles, pleasure craft, and also so-called pet insurance, where we insure cats and dogs for health. And that's a very successful agency. It grows like 20% every year. And I think this year we will probably have a premium income of, say, 120 million euros with a combined ratio in the mid 80s. So that's quite attractive.
Well, I have another question. Why is HDI Global Specialty growing faster than expected? Are you gaining market shares or is it more like the market is growing? And considering the fast growth, how do you ensure that your portfolio quality is and remains good?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, we're gaining market share and the market is growing mainly due to rate increases because the point in time when we started Global Specialty turned out to be rather fortunate because we saw a hardening market from 2019 onwards. And of course, we set it up for 2019. And that was, of course, following a very soft market in the preceding years, which resulted in pretty bad loss ratios in that business. So there was a reaction to the market. So it was clearly a hardening market. And why are we able to grow our market share without compromising on profitability? That is because we had, when we were starting the business, which was basically the old Hannover Re company into Hannover, and some of the business that was transferred from HDI Global Specialty, our market share was very small. It was below 1%, and it was significantly smaller than, for example, the market share we have in the global industrial business. And therefore, we were just growing in our market share in the global industrial business. That helped the growth. That the growth was accelerated then also has to do with the increased rates and with the fact that there was some dislocation in the markets, particularly in the London market, which allowed us to employ teams of underwriters with good track records that became available due to these dislocations in the market. So overall, how do we ensure profitability? I think we have 112 pricing models, which are actual pricing models for our business, which of course take into account expected losses as well as cost of capital and of course the expenses. And that is the way we ensure that we get the right price, that we know which business we should grow and which business we should shrink. And also helps us with risk selection. And it's, of course, the experience and the knowledge of our underwriters.
Couldn't agree more, Uli. I mean, it's cycle management. So, and Uli has already alluded to it. I mean, the market is growing. We increase our market share. The rates move up. We have expanded our geographical footprint at the same time. We believe we have the right people. We add the right people going forward. And whilst we do that, which is of course all in favor of HDI Global Specialty, and in some lines of business, we even, in our opinion, de-risk, that we reduce capacities, we increase deductibles, we restrict coverages. So overall, from my perspective, and hopefully also from Uli's, it is clearly a success story so far for, you know, of HDI Global Specialty, and we believe it will continue going forward.
Yeah, for us, really, the technical profitability of the business is a number one priority. Growth is only the second priority, because growth is only valuable if it creates underwriting profit.
It's my favorite phrase from the CEO of Hannover in the mid-90s, volume is vanity and profit is sanity.
May I ask you guys to reveal what the most interesting or most amusing policy was that you have signed so far?
I mean, if we look back in the years, and Uli has already alluded to that, of course, always an amusing policy is if you insure a hole in one. If a golfer hits the hole with just one strike and gets a certain price for it. Many years ago, in 2006 in Germany, when we had the World Championship in football here, we actually insured one of the big electronic selling companies. They had a promotion period for three weeks, and if you would buy a tally, and in this case Italy would become the world champion, they would actually be reimbursed with the purchase price. And that is clearly a policy which was not that amusing at the time, because we had to pay a claim.
Needless to say, Italy won.
Italy won, yeah. but at the end of the day, in hindsight, of course, it makes us smile. So it's still a nice story we share amongst colleagues and puts a smile on our face, although it cost the company quite a bit of money.
And if you ask what is the rate for hole-in-one insurance in professional golf, it's around 1%.
Ulrich, what would you say is the biggest risk in your business?
Well, it's basically twofold. One, I would say, is still U.S. Hurricane, U.S. windstorm, southeast, because we have delegated authority in the U.S. writing hurricane-exposed risks. We are reducing those exposures. And the other is a larger delegated authority business in liability classes, particularly very long-tail liability classes, where there is not a full understanding of the risk. And therefore, in the initial underwriting years, the business is under-reserved. And then you have to reserve a number of underwriting years at the same time, which means that you have a large loss and there's no compensation for that, because most likely at that time you have canceled the underwriting agency or the delegate, which writes the delegated authority for you. So there's no payback that you can get there. So that's a big risk which we have to avoid.
To what extent has the pandemic influenced your businesses? Are there any new business opportunities you have developed as a result?
If I look on you know, how has it affected our business, I think there are two aspects. We do sport, leisure, entertainment business and contingency business. And of course, that is a typical systemic event. The pandemic virtually led to a situation that virtually all of the policies we were writing in contingency, which is cancellation, abandonment of events.
So it's basically if there's a concert of a rock group and we ensure that it actually happens, and if for any reason, be a pandemic or bad weather or illness of the main lead singer or something like this, it cannot take place, then we have a loss because we reimburse the people that have arranged for this concert for their lost revenues.
Exactly, Uli. And of course, the corona crisis or the pandemic situation has virtually led that virtually all policies were triggered with a claim at the same time. Has it created new opportunities? Not necessarily, surely, in the lines of business we are transacting. But overall, the impact is manageable for us as a company.
Well, I think ESG, which means environmental, social and governance, is becoming more and more important. And I think it is representing a danger for several lines of businesses, for example, legal, D&O or mining. In which way do you give consulting advice to your customers to minimize these risks?
I mean, it's of course a hot topic, and even more so if we look at the recent events we have also seen in Germany. If we look at climate change and the impacts that of course have, it's something we in the group, in the Talanx group, but also at HDI Global especially take very serious. And of course, we work with our clients also in the transformation or transition to become more climate friendly, if I may call it like this. HDI, as you know, has been founded by the German industry, so it's not our philosophy to let them stand in the rain alone. Of course, we talk to them, probably more the colleagues from HDI Global with the traditional products, but also us at HDI Global especially to help them in the transition. You mentioned D&O and mining. At HDI Global especially, we continue to be an insurer for the mining industry. If we look into electromobility, you need batteries for that. Where do the materials come from? I mean, they have to be mined.
Even though we don't do open pit coal mine.
Yeah, exactly right, Uli. But of course, if you look, everyone is talking about electromobility, but you need the materials for the batteries. And they don't grow on trees. I mean, you have to get it out of earth. That needs to be done in the best possible way, that you extract them from Mother Earth in the most environmental protecting way, put it this way. And we are a partner for the industry to help them in their transition as much as we can.
My last, and I think my most important question for you guys is, to what extent do you add value for the Talanx investors?
HDI Global Specialty was set up as an initiative of Thorsten Lawyer to create a win-win-win situation. Why win-win-win? It was set up to be accretive for Talanx, HDI Global and Hannover Re. For all three, the aim is to increase the profitability. For Talanx, very clearly, the specialty business previously was resting mostly in Inter Hannover, which was 100% owned by Hannover Re. For Talanx, that means that 50% of the profits would go to the Hannover Re minority shareholders. If now as the share is reduced to 50% of Hannover Re, only 25% of the profits go to the Hannover Re minority shareholders. So accretive for Talanx. For HDI Global, they get profitable specialty business which previously they didn't have. And for Hannover Re, as the growth of Inter Hannover was curtailed by the fact that Hannover Re is a reinsurance company and does not want to compete with their clients, being the other insurance companies, due to the higher growth that in the new setup we could get with HDI Global Specialty, they also get a higher profitability out of that business, despite the fact that instead of 100%, they only have 50%.
There's nothing to add from my side, Uli.
Ralf and Ulrich, thank you so much for taking the time to be my guests today. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you and have a nice day.
Thanks, Shirley, and have a nice day.
To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. It was a pleasure to share these insights with you. Until next time, take care.